Our scripture this morning begins in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Then on to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. Imagine with me an elementary classroom. A crisp fall morning, the windows are open, and a little girl sitting on the front row. Penelope Henson looked at the clock for the seventh time in the last hour. It was finally 11 o'clock, and there came a knocking at the classroom door. Her teacher, Mrs. Scott, walked over to the door and opened it, and there was Penny's dad. He was right on time, as he liked to be. She was glad to see him. Mrs. Scott said, Mr. Henson, we are glad that you are here this morning. Penny's been excited about this. Penny, whenever you're ready, you can come forward. Penny got out of her desk and walked to the front of the class. She had invited her dad to show and tell. Penny said, "My dad is a firefighter, and he gets to ride on that red engine. He's let me ride on it too. He goes and he fights fires and he helps people, and I'm proud of my dad." Mrs. Scott said, "Yes, your dad has a very important job. Class, do you have any questions?" Penny was feeling high, but then she saw Todd Bridges raise his hand, and her stomach sank. Todd Bridges sat behind her and occasionally pulled her pigtails, and he had a bad smile on his face. But because he raised his hands first, the teacher called on him, and Todd quickly said, "You don't look like much of a fireman." Mrs. Scott scolded him immediately, saying, "Todd, he's a guest in our class, and you do not treat him that way." But Mr. Henson said, "It's okay. It's okay. I have some pictures with me." And at this point, Penny had turned and looked at her dad and realized he didn't have on his helmet, he didn't have on his gear, he didn't have on his boots. Instead, he was dressed like he always dressed when he and his mother went out and Penny had to stay with her grandmother. So Mr. Henson pulls out his folder and starts to pass around some photographs of him in his firefighting gear. And he says, "These were taken a few weeks ago when we were called to help a family. A fire had started in the middle of the night. And we were not able to save the house, but we counted it a success because we got all the people out and no one was hurt." And so throughout all of this, Penny, looking at the photographs, she's still proud of her dad. And she's thinking, "He sure is a firefighter, no matter what Todd Bridges says." Have you ever been in a scenario like that? When you were trying to prove someone was something, it raises questions. How do we identify, how do we recognize certain people? How do we know a doctor is a doctor? A judge is a judge? A politician, a teacher, an engineer? How do we recognize them? And once we start walking down this road, then we Christians ask ourselves, how do we recognize a Christian? And if it was a time of show and tell, what would we say? And would there be people there who said, "Well, you don't look like much of a Christian"? When we are faced with that question, if someone were to ask us, "Are you a Christian? Can you show me how you are a Christian?" we might start saying, "Well, I believe that there's a God over the universe, Almighty, creator of that universe, and that we are God's children, and we call Him Father," as we've rehearsed over the last several Sundays. Or we might focus on how Jesus descended, the Son of God descended and came to this earth to be Messiah, prophet, priest, and king, to be Lamb and Lion for us, and how we are His disciples and apostles. But this morning, the Apostle Paul in Corinthians and then in the Galatians passage, calling us to think about the role of the Holy Spirit. The last couple of Sundays, we spoke about the Spirit's role in salvation, sanctifying us, making us holy when we couldn't be holy on our own. And then the Holy Spirit inspiring us to carry out the mission that Jesus has shared with us. But the passages this morning focus on two other things that the Holy Spirit gives us. Often we think about the fruits of the Spirit. And many of us have memorized that passage, that verse in Galatians. But also, sometimes we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, specifically speaking about the roles of ministry that we have within our community. And so here, these are the two things that we hold up for examination this morning. They are not the same thing. Because as we look at these lists closely, we start to realize these are different matters. We don't need to be fuzzy about this. Paul's very clear. When we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, he mentions those things that are of service to the ministry of the church. And if you paid attention there in the Corinthians passage, we have gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And we realize we can make some connections, obviously, quickly, between that list and roles in the church today, roles that Paul also mentions in this passage, about being missionaries, evangelists, about being pastors and teachers, about being those who put themselves in places of service to the poor and the needy. And we see the Holy Spirit inspiring us to carry on the ministry that Jesus initiated. And that Jesus himself told his disciples, now that I ascend back to the Father, you don't go back to your old life. Now you're given the task of going into all the world and sharing what you have learned from me. And once again, as we said last week, if we were just on our own, we might despair at that possibility, saying, well, we can't live up to the law. We can't be holy. We can't be, as Christians often say, the hands and feet of Christ in the world, unless the Holy Spirit is working through us. Paul, in this passage, says, to make the confession that Jesus is Lord shows that the Holy Spirit is already in your heart and working in your life, equipping you to the different tasks within the body of Christ. But Paul here, and this is in Corinthians, and if you know anything about the church in Corinth, you know it was divided. All these different factions arguing with one another. And you can hear how that audience might receive Paul's discussion about the variety of gifts. Whenever there's variety, think about this. At Christmas time, if you have three grandchildren and you give a different gift to each grandchild, eventually there might be a situation where, why didn't you give me that? You hear those words. Or, his gift is better than mine. And some grandparents have learned you give the same gift to all three children, grandchildren. But here, this is a redeemed community. Difference and variety are not problems. They do not bring out envy. They do not bring out division. Instead, they bring out unity. When we think about this, our society is not very good with this. When there's difference, we figure out some way to say, one of these is better, and lord the better one over the inferior one. We talk about racism and sexism and all the different isms in our society of powerful groups taking difference and using it to their own advantage. But here, difference in the community of Christ, different gifts, leads to the body functioning. You know, the Apostle Paul elsewhere refers to the church as the body of Christ. And we know that our foot and our hand perform different functions, and yet the two of them comprise the body. And here, the gifts of the Spirit, missionaries, and those who cook meals, and those who deliver Sunday school materials to homes, and those who share their testimonies out in public, and those who teach Sunday school lessons, all perform different functions within the church. And there are many efforts, I've seen these over the years, perhaps you've participated in one of these studies, trying to figure out, well, what is your spiritual gift? And we spend a lot of time worrying about that, but the point is, if we are in prayerfully attentive state, if we look for ways in the church community to try out new things, we will feel the promptings of the Spirit at different points, and we will hear the affirmations of the community. And so here, the gifts of the Spirit are crucial for carrying on the ministry of Jesus. Those gifts are different. There's a variety here. And we see the different gifts serving the one community. But when we come over to the fruits of the Spirit, there is this sense that we all share in the fruits of the Spirit. We're not arguing here whether we're a missionary or a preacher or a servant in the kitchen. Here we are all to foster these virtues, and the Holy Spirit plants the seeds of these within our heart. And once again, if you know that passage in Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know that list. You've heard that list. And if we look at that list, we say, well, that's kind of vague, isn't it? Aren't those the characteristics of any good person? If we start going down that way, then we've missed Paul's anchor. All of these are anchored to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, the role model who shows us what each of these is. And so we look to Jesus to discover what love and joy and peace are. And then the Holy Spirit plants those within our heart. And we get to choose here whether we're going to nurture them and listen to the Spirit or whether we are going to be resistant to these things. We think about love. We get some very concrete things here. Many of us automatically would think whenever Jesus had to sum up the law and the prophets, all that had come before, what does he say? Love God with all that you are and love your neighbor as yourself. And then we speak about how we define love in the idea of Jesus' descent, in the testimony of his descending from a place of privilege to be a servant among us and then to lay down his life for us. And then when he comes to victory, he shares that with us rather than just saying, okay, I left you behind and now I'm going on to my victory. That's not what happened. Instead, Jesus, out of love, shares that with us. But then joy. There's a lot of discussion about joy and trying to define it in opposition to happiness. And you hear a lot of people say, well, joy is deep, lasting happiness. But once again, we are lost in words here. And if we look towards Jesus again, he tells his disciples, when I leave you, I will send my joy into your hearts. And an encounter with Jesus gives us that sense of joy. Think about those that Jesus touched and healed. What did they do? They got up and danced, even if they had previously been lame. and that sense of exuberance and excitement to be in God's presence. And then peace. Something that we speak about every Advent season, one of the Sundays, we think about the number of times that Jesus said that He was sending His peace on His disciples. We think about Jesus out there on the Sea of Galilee in the storm and bringing all that ruckus to silence and stillness. And that image of peace. A turbulent world where everyone is worried. And here we find peace. Perhaps you remember John Wesley's trip from Savannah back to England and the ship getting caught out in the Atlantic in a storm. And everybody on the boat is worried except for a group of Moravians who are down in the ship's hold singing hymns. And for Wesley, that was a point where he said, well, there's something missing in my life. And so here, that sense of peace that comes from being in Christ's presence. Patience. We've got all the different slogans about patience, about, Lord, give me patience, but not now. Or, give me patience, but hurry up with it. We get all those different understandings. And yet, when we turn and we look at Jesus, and we read through the Gospels, and we see the number of people coming to Him with what we think are simplistic questions, if we're being generous, or antagonistic questions, all those that tried to trip Him up. And throughout all of that, Jesus being patient and explaining to them what the truth is. And so that sense of carrying peace over into the social setting and being patient with people. Kindness. This is a word that we might think is kind of vague once again, or wishy-washy, someone's kind. But there is a root here that's connected to that image of love. And Jesus Himself, in the Sermon on the Mount, speaks about going the second mile. If someone asks for your cloak, give them your shirt too. That sense of not being stingy with what you have, and to be one who shares, and the one who gives, and the one who is thinking about the needs of others. Jesus Himself consistently throughout His ministry calling us to consider the needs of others. Then goodness. This connects back to what we were already saying about the Holy Spirit's role in sanctifying us. Goodness, I attribute to holiness, the sense of being in God's character. We spoke last week about the number of times we try to define that word, retreating to negative definitions, saying, well, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this. And then if we try to define what goodness is, holiness is, we have to turn to God to learn and discover what that is. And then to Jesus, God incarnate, walking among us in our human world, showing us what goodness is. Once again, something that we could not achieve on our own. It's not about good works. It's about the Holy Spirit's presence within us to sanctify us and to inspire us to goodness. Faithfulness. I think one of the things that Christians latch on to as they read through the Gospels, as they start thinking about the Day of Judgment, thinking about the words in the parable of the talents, well done, good and faithful servant. We think about the number of parables where Jesus says that day is going to be like a thief in the night. You're not going to be able to prepare for it. But if you are one who is faithful, day by day, you are preparing yourself for that moment of accountability. And that day by day, you are listening to the Holy Spirit's call. And that is what faithfulness is. It's not a sometimes thing. It's a day-by-day commitment. Then gentleness. Of the list here, gentleness, once again, is something, particularly in American society, not something that's always favored. It's along with that word meek. Meek and gentle. In our society, we often say these are the people that others can steamroll over. That these are the people who don't speak up for themselves. But here, you think about a parent leaning down and helping a one-year-old learn to walk. And the gentleness that a parent can show lifting that child after he's fallen and is crying. All those images of God reaching down and taking care of us in the moments when we stumble and when we fall. Those are the images of gentleness. And then finally, self-control. This is one that many of us don't want to have anything to do with. In our society, we're taught to think about the pursuit of happiness. And to do whatever we want. You can do whatever makes you happy. But we know that that philosophy can lead down some dangerous paths. And those are the dangerous paths that the Apostle Paul lists here as counter to the works of the Spirit. And he mentions things as drunkenness, the use of drugs, sexual immorality, nursing anger to the point of hatred, stirring up trouble, seeking the best over others, always running to the best and not allowing others to taste of the best, or idolatry, putting something else in place of God. And here, self-control is one of the things that helps us, along with wisdom, discerning where the Spirit is calling us and to listen and not to listen to these seductive voices in the world and not to do whatever a whim strikes us to do. And so here, all of these work together to show the fruits of the Spirit. These are the signs that God's Holy Spirit is working through us. And so as we meditate once again on the role of the Holy Spirit, we ask ourselves, how would we handle, each of us individually, how would we handle a show and tell? If we were called on the carpet, if we were called to show up, if our little child asks us to come to talk to the class about being a Christian. First, would we welcome the opportunity? Then, are we faithful enough to handle the opportunity? And to realize, once again, whenever we step into those kinds of situations, the Holy Spirit has promised to be our guide and to prompt us with words that we might not feel capable of saying. And as we think about show and tell, we do realize there is a day of accountability, a day of judgment. Jesus himself said that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And if you are not ready now, you will need to be ready then. If that fills you with fear and trepidation, remember God has not left you alone. God has sent you His Holy Spirit to work within you, to give you the gifts needed for the ongoing ministry of the church, and to give you the fruits to carry on a transformed life in this fallen world. And those truly are the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. We come now to a time of invitation and commitment, a time for you to consider your own situation, your own relationship with God. If you've never made a commitment to follow Christ, to be a child of God, this church offers this time as an opportunity for you to walk forward so that this church can receive you and pray for you and encourage you as you seek forgiveness of sin and the waters of baptism. Now also is a time for each one of us, if we've already made that commitment, to ask ourselves, are we listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Are we attentive to the gifts in our community? And are we celebrating the variety of those gifts and the different ministries of the church? Are we supporting those in the ways that we should? And then are we listening to the Holy Spirit and living by the fruits of the Spirit? These are the things that we consider as we stand together and sing.